Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be once again out in the open air, and especially now that we're enjoying something like summer. It's a wee while since we have seen such pleasant weather. Well, we want to share the gospel with you tonight in a simple fashion. And as part of our witness, we always like to sing at least part of a hymn. And we're going to sing the hymn number 275 in our hymn book. It starts off, "Oh, what a Saviour, that He died for me. From condemnation, He hath made me free." Not us ourselves. We didn't do it. But we were delivered from our sins and from the judgment of God by the Saviour. We're going to sing the first two verses of this hymn, and then I'm going to have a wee word of prayer and leave you with a message from the Scriptures. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith He, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. All my iniquities on Him were laid. All my indebtedness by Him was paid. All who believe on Him, the Lord hath said, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, words that we don't use too often today, but simply they mean truly, 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 I say unto you, truly, truly, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. We're going to have a wee word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, arrest the thoughts of men and women tonight, and may they give heed to the word of God. Speak, I pray, and grant that this simple witness to our friends and neighbors, whom we love in Christ, and whom we desire to see enjoy all that God has for them through the gospel, answer our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn you to the book of the Psalms. I suppose that's not an unusual thing in an open-air meeting, because in the book of Psalms there are so many simple, straightforward declarations of the truth of God. But tonight perhaps I'm taking a verse in the Word of God in the Psalms. It's in Psalm 37, perhaps I should say, for those of you who want to look it up, and I hope maybe even some in the home are looking up in their Bible, this Psalm 37, and it's the verse 25. Now, as I say, it's not what we might consider a straightforward gospel text, and yet it's one that I feel that the Lord would have me speak upon tonight. The verse reads, "I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." In the book of Job, the words of one of Job's friends sums up the truth that is here said, and that truth is, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. What the psalmist here, David, says, he says as an old man, he says, "I have been young, and now am old, yet Have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging breath? He is declaring a lifelong observation, one that has been tested time and time and time again, so that at the end of his days, or at least the approach of the end, he is able to make this observation. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, when I read this verse in my own daily Bible reading, some days ago, I think the Lord directed it to me because I sort of am able to fit into the shoes of David. I realize as I stand here this evening that my voice has fallen upon the ears of some of you for a long, long time. I, over 50 years ago, some of you may well have heard me. So that I can likewise make this statement, and that out of long experience. For I too have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now I want to just stress the basis upon which David here is speaking. He says, I've been young and I'm now old. The passage of time should make us wiser. Maybe going to school didn't quite accomplish that, but the passage of the years undoubtedly do. We learn from our own mistakes, at least to some degree. We learn from the mistakes of others. We see them stumble and fall and we say, well, I must take care and not fall out over the same thing. And as a result of the passage of the years, we can speak with authority. I know that this is a day in which the voice of the elderly are dismissed. Their views, their notions, their ideas, their policies. Oh, that's old hat. That's out of style. That's nonsense. But any who may be young and listening to me, let me tell you that is not the case. If you do happen to think that today, I guarantee that if I were able to come back in a few years' time and talk to you, you might have changed your mind. You might have realized that what the elderly were saying out of their experiences had been true, and you had learned that to be so as a result of the lessons you had learned in life. Now you'll notice that David here is speaking from first-hand experience. He's not telling what others have told him. He's speaking from his own experience, what he had witnessed himself. I have seen, he says, that God has never forsaken the righteous. Their seed, their offspring, their children, have never had to beg bread. There have been no exceptions to this rule, you know. David had one of the widest experiences of life that anyone could have. As you know, he started off as a farmer's son. He was a shepherd boy. Then he became a soldier with the slaying of Goliath. Then he was a fugitive, hunted by jealous Saul. He then became God's king over Israel. And all of this presented to him a wide, wide variety of experiences. And out of them all, he could not find one occasion when the righteous were forsaken and their children were found to be begging bread. The second thing I want to say from this verse is this. Who is David speaking of? He's not speaking of everybody. There are plenty of people forsaken in this world. Plenty of people whose children beg bread. In fact, our heart breaks at times when we see some reports, either in newspaper or television, of the deprivation that many millions of people suffer in this world. It's heartbreaking to see a child starving, weeping, and hunger, and no one to give it as much as a thrust. No, David's not talking about everybody. He says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? I would say there are many in this world who come forward to claim that title. Many who have no right to claim it. Now, I want to tell you what the Bible says, what God says. is a righteous person. The first time that word righteous appears in our Bible is in Genesis, the chapter 6. And there, our English translators translated it by the English word just, J-U-S-T, means the same. This is what it says. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. That's Genesis 6:9. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Noah walked with God. That tells you what a righteous person is. It's referring to those who are saved by the grace of God, who have been delivered from their sinful ways, delivered from being the enemies of God, reconciled unto God, made friends of God. They obey His gospel and they walk as companions with Him, delighting in His company. That's who David's talking about when he talks about the righteous. The righteous is one who has taken John 3:16 into his heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the righteous person is the one who says, I believe that. I believe that. And I'm trusting in God's Son for my salvation. Thereby they become righteous. And those who are righteous are under God's special care. I hope I'm encouraging those gathered round me here this evening, supporting this open air meeting, when I say the following, as well as informing all of you within the sound of my voice, how caring is God to those who are righteous. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Listen, if you and I could but see now into heaven, we would see that the eye of God is upon this little assembly. For amongst us here, there surely are some who are righteous. Is God's eye on you? Is His ear open to your prayer? Proverbs chapter 15, the verse 29 says, the Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. What a wonderful thing that is. In a day when you can't get the doctor to hear you, when you can't get the Prime Minister to hear you, and anybody who is there being paid to help you, you can't get them to hear you. But the righteous man, the righteous woman, the righteous lad or lassie is assured that God hears them. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? May it make you long to know that grace. They enjoy eternal life, the righteous. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, the just shall live by faith. You know, men and women, that is the word given of God to the monk Martin Luther, struggling in his darkness to find the truth of God. He had tried every exercise that the Roman Catholic Church had set before him. He had done all forms of penitence. He had gone on a pilgrimage to Rome. He had climbed stairs on his knees. He had starved himself. But he couldn't find peace with God. Then God directed him to this verse, which is repeated by Paul the Apostle in Galatians chapter 3 in the verse 11. And he saw, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. It's by faith that they obtain life. Oh, that you might know this. It's not by going to church. It's not by reading your Bible. It's not by saying prayers. The world is filled with people who say prayers and they know nothing of God. The just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. Oh, understand that this evening. One last thing. What does he say here about the righteous? Speaking from a lifetime of experience, referring to those who are in God's eyes righteous, who are saved. What did David say? I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The word forsaken means simply leave. It's a word that appears early in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, in fact, and the verse 24, where God institutes marriage. And may I could preach a sermon tonight on that truth. God did institute marriage, and he did it between Adam and Eve. And in instituting marriage, he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and take unto himself a wife. And that's the word leave. That's the word that's spoken of here in our text, forsaken. And when a young man gets married, he forsakes. He goes away from the house in which he was born, in which he received love and care, and he goes off and he sets up a new home. He leaves. He makes a break. Well, God never will make that break. We're married to Christ, the Bible says, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, do you have that sweet, precious consolation within your soul? Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's his forever. It's his forever. The care that God gives to his people is set forth here in the mention of bread. That's one of the basic elements of life. God will not forsake the righteous, nor will the righteous man's seed have to beg bread. Even such a small thing as bread, God will provide it. God will provide it. Did not the Lord Jesus teach his people to pray, give us each day our daily bread? And never has that prayer been uttered in faith, but it's been wonderfully answered. Wonderfully answered. My dear friend this evening, I'm an old man now, an old preacher. Maybe the last time I'll ever stand here to speak to you. But I can say from my life's experience that I have seen God faithful to those who are his. And if you tonight receive Christ as your Savior, he will be eternally faithful to you. Eternally faithful to you. May God write his word upon your heart. Psalm 37 and the verse 25. Look it up and consider it for yourself. And may there spring from its words life eternal. We're going to close in a wee word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of sharing in peace the gospel with our neighbours. And oh God, we desire God's best for each and every one of them. Answer prayer. Grant us your grace at this time to obey your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Well, you know where our church is. If you're ever inclined to come and visit at any of our services, you'll be very, very welcome. God bless you.